Esther, A Woman of Strength and Dignity by Charles Swindoll. Chapter 11, After the Ache, Celebrate. We have journeyed through some pretty dark and dismal times with Esther. There were a few moments we found ourselves expecting the worst and wondering if the king's decree to exterminate all the Jews in every province of Persia might actually happen. Dreadful thought. What could possibly stop it? And then, as Haman had those enormous gallows constructed on which he planned to impale Mordecai publicly, Esther's cousin and adoptive parent, the future seemed completely bleak. All the while, we were questioning what, if anything, Esther could do. She may have been the queen, but no queen, in fact no one, was free to walk into the king's presence and negotiate any decision he had made. The familiar law of the Medes and the Persians was not merely a proverbial phrase in her day. It was an official principle known throughout the land. Everything seemed lost, and nobody felt it more than the Jews of Persia. Since a date was set for this Holocaust to begin, each new dawn only deepened the ache of their hearts, until Esther was roused to action by her faithful and godly guardian, Mordecai. Ignoring long-standing protocol and refusing to be intimidated by the thought of being put to death, in doing so, she courageously stepped into the king's private war room, expressed her concern for her people, and in doing so, revealed to him for the first time that she too was Jewish. Exposed the deceptive wickedness of Haman's heart, and only hours later pled that the decree might somehow be altered, or at least defended against. All these things occurred in a relatively brief period of time, but they resulted in a remarkable turning point, not only in the colorful story of Esther, but in the dramatic history of the Jews. The results? Everything changed. The king allowed her interruption and listened compassionately to her pleas. Haman was soon hung on the gallows he had built for Mordecai. Mordecai was promoted to the position Haman vacated, prime minister of Persia. And as we saw in the previous chapter, the Jews were liberated from the fear of extermination by another decree that allowed them to defend themselves from all who would attempt to harm them. The first verse of Esther 9 says it all. On the day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain the mastery over them, it was turned to the contrary so that the Jews themselves gained the mastery over those who hated them. Wonderful news! Goodbye, fear and pain. Hello, relief and pleasure. Operation Celebration kicked in. If I may jump momentarily from then to now, I think it's necessary to mention something I have noticed among God's family. Most Christians seem to handle pain better than pleasure. For some strange reason, we seem to do better with hard days than we do with easy days, with tough times rather than fun times. Stress and anxiety, we expect. Reward and relief don't seem natural. Many of our critics would tell us that it is because we operate so much of our lives under self-imposed guilt. They may be right. We somehow anticipate being punished for something we've done or failed to do. We weep with those who weep much more easily than rejoice with those who rejoice. When we take a 2-week vacation, most folks need the first week just to begin to enjoy it, often because we're so wound up we don't relax. It takes us that long to give ourselves permission to relax and enjoy the reward of a long year of hard work well done. Too bad celebration comes so slowly. Deep within our minds, there seems to lurk a bad news mentality. Ever notice that about yourself? If someone says to you, "I want to talk to you before long about something that's been on my mind," What is the first thing that springs to your mind? Is it, oh, he wants to tell me something good? Not on your life. We expect the worst. It's much more likely that you'll find yourself saying, why don't you just tell me now so I don't have to worry about it? Or if someone says, I've written you a letter, you'll get it in a day or two, your immediate response is, oh no. Rather than a letter of affirmation, we expect confrontation and criticism. Why are we like that? It's as if we resist and run from the positive, since we live in such a negative setting. When will we ever learn to operate in the realm of grace? When will we ever allow ourselves sufficient freedom to really celebrate? My sister, Lucy Swindoll, has this take on it. The highest and most desirable state of the soul